You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
You are the light.
Welcome today to Lifeline, brought to you by Bob Allen Ministries.
When the storms within us rage,
you are the lifeline.
You're the master of the waves. You are the lifeline, the mighty God who saves.
Here's your host, Bob Allen.
Morning, folks. Watch the Lifeline. Dr. Bob here. Always good to come to you and talk to you about the things of our precious Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Look, if you have friends anywhere in the world, they can pick this program up 24/7. Simply go to WCNO.com, scroll down to the word on demand. Click on the word on demand, and then you'll see a counter. Click on that counter. And then any Saturday, my son Landon and I have about 2 years teaching on here that you can download anytime you want to. You can podcast it, and also, if you're driving out there this morning and you drive out of the zone where you can't hear the message and it ends on you, you can give us a call here and we will be glad to send you a CD, or you can pull up on the internet. Just wanted you to know that. Look, I want to talk to you today about understanding the Spirit of God. I started quite a while ago, and I've been got sidetracked a few weeks here, but my son Len has been preaching for me. But I've been, this is the third message that I've brought for you on the Holy Spirit, on actually who the Holy Spirit is, what he does. I started back in the beginning of the Old Testament and just walked through step by step how the Spirit of God works. I'm pretty convinced we're not very clear on that. I am pretty convinced we're not walking in all the authority and the power of the Spirit of God that's available to us. Next week, I hope to get into the 12th, 13th, 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians, where Paul teaches us all about the gifts. I'm either going to prove them to you or disprove them to you, whatever. Many think they are no longer active in the church, and we're going to check all that out next week. And also, next week I'm going to be open there, and you can call me on any question you've ever had about the Spirit of God, and I'll be able to answer for you. I don't care what it is. Next week, when you talk about these teachings on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how they should operate today in man, I'm going to put myself out there, and you can question, you can call, anything you want to know. I mean, there's so many people I know all the time because they ask me that have questions about the Spirit of God. Next week, you call, and we'll be more than glad to share with you. Look, one thing I want to share, that there are spirits many out there, and we kind of need to know. It's pretty hard to separate the Spirit of the living God, God the Holy Ghost, and other things that we think are God the Holy Ghost. I want to try to clear that up for you today, so just stick with me now, and we're going to bring some clarity to this thing. Most people believe there's a Holy Spirit only because the preacher preaches it, but they see little evidence in their life. Also, I want to bring this out to you today. If you're out here today and you're listening to me, and you're a hurting, broken person, and you really are hurting, something's really going on in your life that's just more than you can handle, and you have no place to go, you give me a call here at the station. I'll be more than glad to counsel you. I'll be more than glad to pray for you. My number is 221-1100. I'm alive here at the station today. 221-1100. Toll free. 888-221-8990. If you're shut in, if you're struggling, if you're crying out, if you're hurting, if you're broken, you call today, and I'll do everything I can to give you the proper word of the Lord that will help you. That's the only thing that will help you is what God has to say, not so much what I have to say. Now, give me a call if you're a hurting person, okay? Now, if you believe you get all the Holy Spirit when you get saved and go down and shake the pastor's hand, you have reduced the Spirit down to mere Christianity, and you're left powerless. That could be a lie from Satan that makes you think you got all there is to get. I want to bring real clarity today to the operation of the Spirit of God. Could there be a new and exciting power by the Spirit that you have never walked in? A whole new realm, a better and sure way to reveal our precious Lord and Savior? And can we even get there? Is there something more? I ask you, do you know that? Is there something more for you today that you've not been receiving from the Lord? Do you know when the Word is speaking about your spirit or the Holy Spirit of God? Do you know the difference? We need to clear these things up. We really do. If you don't know these things, this is what I've learned over the years. If you really don't know this and you will not acknowledge the work of the Spirit, He will not be able to flow and work in you properly. So we need to understand how the Spirit of God works so He can begin to work in you better. Only born-again people have lively, quickened spirits. Now, you are a spirit if you're born again. You have a soul, and you live in a body. Soul is nothing more than your personality, who you are as a person, okay? But if you're born again now, you have a quickening spirit of the Lord. Now, there's created spirits that are in heaven that work for God, not God, the Holy Ghost. This is the things I want to try to clear up today. Like Revelation 4:7, there's seven spirits in heaven, okay, that are the eyes of the Lord. They are the spiritual government of God that rules the heavens with God. They're His eyes. No, not God the Holy Ghost. Seven different spirits, but not God the Holy Ghost. God even uses evil spirits to work for Him. Well, not really. He used the spirits to come down here that do the work of evil, like He did in King Saul. When He wanted to bring down King Saul, He began to put, His spirit came down and began to work with Saul. And an evil spirit would come up on Saul, and he would try to destroy King David. This was the work of the Lord. I'll make it clear that it is. Genesis 9:23, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the man of Shechem because of the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Jeroboam. Gideon's sons had every one of them killed. And God sent a spirit now to become an evil spirit to bring the people up against Abimelech to bring him down. And 1 Kings 22:20, the Lord talking to spirits, listen to this now, said, who will persuade Abraham? Who will persuade Ahab? That he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead. And one spirit said on this manner, and another spirit said on that manner. We need to understand the spirit world. This is not God the Holy Ghost. These are spirits created by the Lord that are in heaven that do the work of the Lord. And they came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord, a spirit now, and said, I'll persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I'll go forth, and I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. They were false prophets anyway. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail. Also, go forth and do so. Now, this is not God the Holy Ghost, but this is a created spirit of the Lord that comes down to act as an evil spirit and put lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab's prophets. Let's talk now. Let's just start here and take a look at the spirit of the man. That's your spirit. Do you really understand your spirit? Do you know the difference between your spirit and God's spirit? Do you know when in the Bible when it's talking about your spirit or God's spirit? This is pretty important. You need to know these things to ever step out in the spirit and operate in the spirit and power of God, okay? The spirit of the man, not your own spirit, is the candle of the Lord. God looks at the light that's in you, searching all the inner parts of the belly. God looks at you through the condition of your spirit, not what you do in the body so much. People think they're judged every day if they drink too much wine last night, if they smoke too much cigarettes. That's all bad. That'll all hurt you. You'll pay for that. If you get drunk, you're gonna be wind up in jail for drunken driving. You'll pay for all that stuff. But God is not judging every day like people think He is. Jesus said, I didn't come to judge the world. The words I speak unto you, the same shall judge you in the last day. Now, your conscience judges you. If you got drunk last night and you're a Christian, boy, you feel bad today, and you should, because you're a first-class jerk. But the bottom line is, God does His judging by the Spirit. That's how God sees you. Your spirit is how God looks at you. Your spirit is the candle of the Lord, and that's how He measures you. And that's how He sees you, and that's how He leads and guides you. Know you not, the Bible says, that you're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Are you keeping your house clean? Have you turned from all sins? Have you keeping your house clean? Have you given the Holy Spirit a good place to dwell? Does He want to hang around you? He won't hang around sin. You have to turn from your sin. See, that's why you need not to be doing these sinful things. But still yet, God looks at you by your spirit, your own spirit. Is the candle of the Lord. You're revealed to the Lord by your spirit, not because you smoked too many cigarettes yesterday or didn't smoke too many cigarettes. That is not the case. Your spirit reveals who you really are to the Lord. Are you keeping your house clean enough? You won't hang around sin. If so, you're bigger than King Kong. Did you know that? You feel bigger than the Lord, and you should. If you're walking before the Lord and trying to please Him, you're really big in the sight of God. You know, if your spirit's born again, quickened, brought alive, God looks at your spirit. You're very important to Him. You're a son, you're a daughter. Listen, ask yourself, how much real noticeable power and influence does the Spirit have over me? Can you do that? That's a pretty good question. Does the Spirit of God have noticeable influence and noticeable power over your life? If not, you're coming up short. If not, you're not walking in all God has for you. If not, you're not being led by the Spirit of God. Listen to me. You really need to know, does the Spirit of God have great influence in your life? Are you making a decision based on how you've been led by the Spirit of God? Does He really have power over your life? Can He direct your life? Or are you in such a charge of it yourself that you won't let Him direct it? Are you so strong in your own right that the Spirit of God has a hard time leading, guiding, directing your life? Is that be the case, huh? Answer me. You think about it. Excuse me just a moment. My mouth's a little dry here. But does the Spirit of God have proper influence in your life? Huh? The word Holy Ghost is never mentioned one time in the Old Testament. Now look. Before Jesus, the Spirit was never in the man, but upon a man. Remember David said, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You know why he said that? Because the Spirit of God would come upon David. And David knew when the Spirit of God was somewhere upon him when it wasn't. But listen, in the New Testament, Jesus said, I pray the Father, He'll send another comforter. He will be with you forever. You see, He can't take the Holy Spirit away today from you. It can't happen. But He could David because He came up on David. He came up on Moses. He was up on the man. But now the Holy Spirit dwells in the quickened Spirit of God. In the man that's born again, washed in blood, the Holy Spirit dwells in him. And this is really big. I want you to really listen to this. The word Holy Ghost is never mentioned one time in the Old Testament in the King James Bible. Not one time. I never heard this preached in all of my life, but this is really true. Not one time does the King James Bible use the words Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. But He uses it 62 times in the New. This is really, really big. I believe King James is really on to something here. 62 times down in the New Testament, none in the Old. This is only in the King James Bible. Listen, I think King James is on to something here. I'll tell you what. King James, he starts with the Holy Ghost only when it's synonymous with Jesus. Only the first time the Holy Ghost is mentioned in the King James Bible is when it's beginning of John being baptized with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. So King James puts the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Ghost, synonymous with Jesus only. And I really believe he might be on to something that we have missed. So the Holy Ghost comes to reveal Jesus. This is what he does. This is who he is. The word spirit in the Old Testament is not God the Holy Ghost. There's many spirits. There's evil spirits. There's the seven spirits. There's many spirits. In fact, there's so much, the word spirit's missing so much in the Bible when it's not related to the power in the man, then we just take it for granted and we just like, we don't give it proper place. We just assume that, you know, everybody gets everything on the board, which is nothing really. And that's about it. We don't really know. But listen, King James separates this out. He puts the Holy Ghost synonymous with Jesus only. And I really believe he's on to something. Now look at me. Here's what in Luke 1:15, this is what the word says. Talking about John the Baptist now. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. He's the only person in the history of the world to be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. This is the beginning now in the Bible of the work of God the Holy Ghost, including Jesus. Jesus was never filled from his mother's womb. He was not filled until he was 30 years old because of his job. Jesus could only be revealed, can only be revealed by the Spirit. The Spirit from that time on will never again leave the earth and will always be here to testify of Jesus. So the Holy Ghost came upon John to break the way, to bring in the way, to show us the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way Jesus can be revealed is by the Spirit. And that's why John was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, the only person in the history of the world. John came to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This could This can only be done by the Spirit. John introduces the Lord Jesus Christ. It can only be done in the power of the Spirit. Listen to this. The angel said to Mary, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb and bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus." And the angel said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you." Note now, to bring forth Jesus. He's fathered by the Holy Ghost. Jesus has fathered himself by the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost is God. And the power of the highest shall overshadow you. The Holy Ghost is the power of the highest is God. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. The Holy Ghost is God's power here on earth. Not in the heavenly realm, here on earth, here with men. So the Holy Ghost came upon him to bring forth the presence of Jesus. Listen. God is good. You just really need to know how much God loves you, how much he really cares, and how much he's invested in our life. The Holy Ghost is God on the earth. God now, or the God that comes down to you, or better yet, the God that's down here for and with you. He is our life manager. We have something real big here to help us and to talk about. He leads, he guides, he comforts, he shows us the way. The Holy Ghost is God's presence in the man, in the born-again child of God. Listen to this. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary about Jesus, the babe leaped in her womb to reveal Jesus. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost and began to prophesy. Look, people are talking today about babies being aborted, that they're not really babies until they're born. John was a few days old, filled with the Holy Ghost, leaped in Elizabeth's womb, and the Spirit of God moved upon Elizabeth, and she began to prophesy. In fact, Elizabeth brought the first New Testament prophecy to us about Jesus, and John was about a few days old. But she spoke out and prophesied with a loud voice to Mary and said, "Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb." And she goes on in to talk about Jesus, first New Testament prophecy. "For lo, as soon as the voice of this salutation sounded in my ear, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. The Holy Ghost admonished Jesus." This is the beginning of the great story of Jesus and the work of the Holy Ghost, even in the womb of Elizabeth. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Mary began to prophesy, and you might say, testimony of Jesus by the Spirit. When the Spirit of God moves, there's always action. Are you having action in your life from the Lord? You should be. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Ghost. This is all just for mentioning the name of Jesus. John stirred up in Elizabeth's womb, and all three of these people are filled with the Holy Ghost. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, again, there's action here. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." Notice the Holy Spirit is now here, and it's moving in John, it's moving in Zechariah, it's moving in Elizabeth, it's moving in Mary, just to testify of Jesus. The Spirit could be called the living voice for and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the child John shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go forth before the face of the Lord. Now listen, this is King James' name. Here's what it says. Go forth to prepare his ways. All the ways of Jesus. This is what the Holy Ghost does today. John, the King James says he goes forth to prepare. I used to think it was prepare to introduce Jesus, but to prepare his ways. And here's his ways: to give knowledge of salvation to the people by the remission of their sins. In other words, the Holy Ghost is preaching here. John is powered by the Holy Ghost to build a platform for Jesus and to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is a perfect picture of the work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was brought forth in John to prepare the ways of Jesus, his ways. This is who he is. This is what he does. And this is what John was sent to do. And John had to be powered with the Holy Ghost before Jesus. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. That's his now. You can't grow in God's spirit like people think you can. God is spirit, he gives your spirit, but you can feel your spirit. You grow in your own spirit, and the Holy Ghost then can move upon you. When your spirit's filled with the word, filled with life, he moves upon you. But you can't get more or less, so to speak. You can grow in your own spirit. You can ask God, he says, "How much more will I give to them that ask?" He will literally, you begin to ask, you begin to build your spirit up, and God can begin to work with you in much more greater ways, okay? He was in the desert, now John was, to the day of the showing of Israel. And John bare back and saying, "I saw the Spirit John saw him with his own eyes. When Jesus came to John to be baptized, he was about 30 years old. John said, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and it abode upon him. He actually saw with his eyes. I don't think anyone else has ever done that, but John saw the Spirit. John had been prepared to do this. He prepared the way for the ways of Jesus. This is really a big deal. This is really, John is the one that introduces God the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost only begins to work beginning in John. According to the King James, he's never mentioned one time, like I said before, in the Old Testament. Only in the New Testament here to bring forth the work of Jesus. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He introduces and carries out the work of the Lord Jesus. John Barbeck is saying, I saw the Spirit from heaven like a dove in a bowed upon. Now, he actually saw the Spirit. Don't know how he did, but he did. I didn't know him, he said, but he that sent me to baptize with water. The same said to me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on, is the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. What is the Spirit to you? If you're baptized by Jesus with the Holy Ghost, where is the power? Do you have it? Look, John said, we wonder all the time how Jesus had all this power. John said, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining. Look, Jesus received all of the Spirit. For 3.5 years he was upon the earth preaching. Not one person was in the Bible ever records one person that got the Holy Spirit while Jesus was here, because he remained totally upon Jesus. Now, Jesus would send people out and give them power to do certain things. And in the end, the last chapter of the book of John, he breathes on his disciples and received the Holy Spirit. Then he tells them to wait now till Pentecost. So they never received the Spirit until the Spirit of God fell after he was lifted up. But when Jesus was here, the Spirit of God came upon him and remained. He had all the Spirit and power upon him. God, the Holy Ghost, remained only upon him as long as he was upon the earth. The same as he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Have you acknowledged that? Have you received anything? Did you get anything there? Are you baptized with the Holy Ghost? What is the Spirit to you? If you're baptized by Jesus with the Holy Ghost, where's the power? Can you recognize it? Do you acknowledge it? Do you have anything different? Are you different from the world? Is he leading, guiding, directing your life? That's your accepted question. If not, you need to seek him with all your heart. You need to knock. You need to ask. You need to seek, okay? If you don't notice the difference, something's not right here. If he baptizes with the Holy Ghost and power, you should have it. Now, Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. This is really big. He's baptized with the Holy Spirit himself now, but he's driven by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil and to break his power over man. Notice the Spirit drove him in the wilderness. The Holy Ghost is still in charge on the earth. He drives Jesus into the wilderness. Now, it's not until Jesus has broke his power, has resurrected, and the Holy Ghost falls that he is all in all. But for now, on the earth, the Holy Ghost drove Jesus into the wilderness. So he's still directing the life of Jesus. Can he direct your life? Does he direct your life? That's a good question for you. If he drove Jesus, if the Holy Ghost moved Jesus into the wilderness, drove him into the wilderness to fight with the devil, to be tempted the devil, to break the power of sin, to beat the devil as a man, can he direct your life? Really, the Holy Ghost is God down here, but does he have authority over you? Does he have power over you? Can he direct? He directed the life of Jesus, but can he direct yours? Now, this is a very good question you need to think about. He drove Jesus into the wilderness. Can he drive your life? Or are you in charge yourself? Are you driving it? That's a very good question for you. You need to think about it. If you have never noticed any difference in your life as a Christian, if you've never noticed the work of the Holy Ghost, the moving of the Holy Ghost, if you never see him work in your life, something's missing here. You need to go back and you need to regroup. Something's not right. If he drove Jesus, you should let him drive you. And Jesus said, I'll pray the Father. He'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Oh, man, I'm telling you, this is really a big deal. When Jesus was resurrected, he gave us the Holy Ghost forever. He even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not. Excuse me, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Let's talk about this. Do you feel like he's in you? Do you look like he's in you? Do your act like he's in you? Is this working in your life? He said, I'll pray the Father. He'll give you another spirit, another comforter. He'll abide with you forever now. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You have something the world cannot have. Because you don't see him, neither knows him, but you know him, do you? He dwells with you. Is he there? And shall be in you. Do you acknowledge this today? He said, I don't need you to come. I come to you through and by the Holy Spirit. Have you let him do this? Is he working in your life? He said, Bob, I want more of the Holy Spirit. How do I get more of him? You can't. That is, unless you give him something to work with. Jesus said, my word is spirit, and it is life. If you get the word done deep in your spirit, then the Holy Spirit can direct and move your spirit. If you fill yourself up with the word, you have the life. In other words, my spirit is, my word is spirit, my word is life. You're just taking in, your spirit is so full, then the Holy Ghost can easily direct your life and move you in the way he wants to go. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Are you doing that? Can you do that? Does the word abide in you? Does Jesus abide in you? He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be given unto you. How's that working for you? Is that working in your life? Do you abide in Jesus? Does his word abide in you? If that be the case, then you can hear the voice of the Spirit. He can direct your life and guide your life and satisfy your life and empower your life and use your life. He said, my word is spirit. My word is life. Do you have the Spirit? Do you have the life in you? Are you filled? Are you overflowing? Can you help people? Do you have enough for somebody else? Does it flow out of you? Can you minister the word of God? Can you minister love? Can you minister kindness, gentleness, good fruits? Can you do that? Does the fruit of God flow out of you into other people's lives? Can you be a helper of others? Can the Spirit of God use you to do what he does? Testify of Jesus. Bring in the presence of Jesus to others. Can people find Jesus through your life? If you're not, you're coming up short. You need to seek the Lord. Look. We need help with this, miss. We really do need help. We are not getting proper support. We need your support. If you're getting the answer today, we need your help. Please send us a check, too. We really need it. And I take nothing, zero, nothing. I'm paying the station out of my pocket. I need help. Please send your check to Bob Allen, Post Office Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958. Bob Allen, Post Office 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958. One more time, easy, Bob Allen. 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958. Or email us at BobAllenMinistries@gmail.com. Remember, only two, three words, BobAllenMinistries@gmail.com. BobAllenMinistries@gmail.com. Send us a check now to Bob Allen. 1603, P.O. 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958, or email us at BobAllenMinistries@gmail.com. If you have any questions, anything we can help you with, give us an email. Get up with us. Listen, we love you. We appreciate you. We want you to know that. We're here every Saturday because we love you. We care about you. But you know what? I want you to know more than anything else. The Lord loves you. God loves you. Has a plan for your life if you are just grab hold of him. He loves you. He cares about you. And remember, if you're not in, walking in the Spirit of God, something's missing. You seek, you cry out, and you get into the Word, and you find out what God has to say to you. He says, Jesus, I come in the volume of the book. It's written to me. Get into the volume of the book. Anchor there in the volume of the book. Read the Word of God and trust Jesus. Lord, he loves you. He died for you. What more can you ask? You're somebody today. You're important to the Lord, okay? God bless you now. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Lifeline with your host, Bob Allen. A broadcast ministry brought to you by your generous gifts of support. To support this ministry, please send your gifts to Bob Allen Ministries, P.O. Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958. To contact Dr. Allen, the email address is BobAllenMinistries@gmail.com. Thank you for listening and join us next week at the same time for Lifeline.